Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Meg Robinson. Rather than a full-length sermon, today's podcast contains a short devotional by Senior Pastor Jerry Barber, which was part of our annual Thanksgiving service at Harvest. Let's listen to More Than a Thankful Spirit.
So let's talk about Thanksgiving today. One unidentified mother listed seven things that she was thankful for. This is a mom. Seven things she's thankful for. For automatic dishwashers. They make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes in for their after-dinner snacks. Two, for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house. They usually make them big enough to call in professionals. Three, for the bathtub. It's the one place the family allows mom some time to herself. Four, for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. For gardening, it's a relief to deal with dirt outside the house for a change. For teenagers, they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And finally, for smoke alarms, they let you know when the turkey's done. Now today we're going to give thanks for many things. One of the identity markers of Harvest Community Church to the glory of God is expository preaching. We take the scripture, we go right through the scripture, it forms what we do, it shapes who we are as a people because it's the Word of God. And we at Harvest are in the process. About 8 months ago, we began looking at the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And we've been going week by week through that. We're up to chapter 20 as of last week. But today on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we're going to take a short pause from that. We do this the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we make it an actual Thanksgiving service with an opportunity for you to give thanks. So on those days, like today, we'll pause our series. Lord willing, next week we'll come back to Genesis, picking up at chapter 21. But for today, we're going to let the Word of God shape us, but just in a devotional fashion. And the scripture that I want to point to is on the back of that sheet that you are holding it. I think that every Christian has a couple of desires, at least. There are many desires, but I think two things that every Christian wants to do is to pray for others and to know how to pray for others. I think every Christian also wants to please the Lord and to know how to please the Lord. And it's interesting, the passage that we're going to look at this morning from Colossians 1 links both of those. It links prayer and what a God-pleasing life is. Paul the Apostle wrote this to a group of believers in the city of Colossae, and he is expressing to them how much he prays for them, and not only how much he prays for them, what he prays for them. So in Colossians 1:9, Paul said, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Like Paul, it would be good for us to pray for other believers, that they would have a mature understanding of God's will. They would receive the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. That is a great prayer. Including the discernment of how God wants them to live and the power to perform that. So in verse 10, Paul then tells them why he prays this. We get his motive. so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. So Paul is saying to these believers, I'm praying these things for you that you'll be enabled by the Holy Spirit, and I'm praying it for a specific reason, so you can please God. I want you to live a life that's worthy of God. And I think all believers want to live those worthy lives. But what does that look like? What do we mean when we say that? What is a life that's worthy of God? Well, we aren't left to guess. We aren't left to speculate. Paul, based on the way the grammar is here, he makes it really specific. This is what a worthy life is, and he's going to give us four expressions. Bang, 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 bang. And while I'm praying for you have a worthy life, and here's what a worthy life looks like. Bearing fruit in every good work, that's number one. Number two, growing in the knowledge of God. Number three, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And number four, joyfully giving thanks, or giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. So a God-pleasing life consists at least of four things according to the Apostle Paul. It produces the fruit of good works, verse 10. In verse 10, it progresses in knowing God. In verse 11, it gains inner spiritual strength. And then, number four, in verse 12, it joyfully gives thanks to God. If we are pleasing God, a natural expression is to joyfully give Him thanks. It helps us understand who He is and where every blessing comes from. And that's why we joyfully give thanks. These are to be a continual part of our lives. These are to be things that we do all the time, alone, together in with small groups, with families. And then today, we have an opportunity as a church body to express that together, to express that thanksgiving together. There are many things that we're thankful for, and in a minute, when we open our floor this morning to allow you to come share thanks to God, it's appropriate to thank God for anything you're thankful for. There's not only certain things you should thank God for, because Paul also wrote in another place, in everything, give thanks. Maybe even for gardening in the bathtub. But we will, as our day develops, you see, we have, of course, a communion table in front of the cross. And we will, as we draw near the end of our service, we will turn our hearts and our thanks toward the thing that we are most thankful for. And that's the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and me. And Paul was thankful of that here. He explains it in verse 13 and 14. He just said, joyfully give thanks. Well, why should we joyfully give thanks? Verse 13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. His death is what secured our redemption, our forgiveness of sin. That redemption is when we are bought back from sin. And we will do that. Well, let's read Psalm 136, which is also on that sheet, and I'd like us to read it responsively. Will you stand with me, please? I will read the first portion of the verses that start out with give thanks to the Lord, and you will read the same thing every single time. His love endures forever. So I hope as you read it, you'll read it with joy and not let it, His love endures forever. But His love endures forever. So I'll read the first part. You join in and let's read this great psalm to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures
forever. To Him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by His understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. We're going to open our time up. We invite you to step up to the mic. And as you come up, just give us your name. And then maybe just a brief sharing of thanks, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. We'd like to have many people the opportunity to share, but our time is open for many minutes now. And like I said, I'll draw it back in a few minutes, towards communion. But, again, you step up and give God thanks, because his love does endure forever. So all ages, as Jennifer mentioned at the beginning, children, youth, adults, let's give thanks to God. There's a special prize for the first one. Oh, and there is the first one. I didn't even need to say that.
I have been waiting all week and probably a little longer to get up and share this morning. So my name is Paula Grandy, and I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the women's retreat from a different perspective. So this year wasn't unlike most years in the fact that we had bumps and bruises along the way with different things that happened. We took about 29 ladies to Ridgecrest Conference Center up in Black Mountain, and we had a great time. But leading up to it, about 8 weeks or up to 6 weeks, up to 4 weeks before the retreat, I was more worried than I have ever been leading up to any retreat. And the reason was because we had multiple rooms that were vacant through unforeseen circumstances, lots of medical issues, loved ones that were not doing well, I mean, a multitude of things. But I kept coming back because Jerry's been teaching through Genesis, and he has continually talked to us about how God is able. And we've seen how God has been able through Abraham and Sarai. And then there was a week, a couple of Sundays ago, that I read from Psalm 19, which was a great psalm. It still is a great psalm. And then I went back to my seat and I further read in Psalm 20. And it just so happened that Sunday I was meeting with the speakers and the leadership team that were helping me with the retreat. And this was the particular Sunday that I probably was the most discouraged, and I almost was like, I don't even, maybe this is a go, no go kind of decision. Like maybe we cut the ties, we eat the money, we do a big fundraiser, I don't know what. And so after hearing Jerry's talk through Genesis on how God is able, and then reading Psalm 20, this is what I read to the table that day, in faith of what God was going to do. It says, "May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call. And as of this morning, I asked Nikki what the final numbers were, and we are in the black. To the glory of God.
So, I'm Tommy, and I'm just, thank you that God is real.
I might get teary talking about this. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm Gracia. Mark and Gracia Kirst and our son Ryan, we just moved here from Colorado Springs, Colorado. We used to go to Rocky Mountain Calvary. And this is our first church service, first church we've tried out since we've come. And I just want to say how thankful I am. We basically didn't know who was going to help us unpack. We didn't know anybody close by. And called up the church, and Nikki answered, and put out an email, and we had like four or five people come, and some muscles, you know, to help us unpack the U-Haul, and we were very thankful for that. The Lord provided them. This congregation loved on us, which was so cool. And then another thing I'm super thankful for is our two daughters are still back in Colorado Springs area, and we got swooped up for Thanksgiving. Our daughter's boyfriend, almost engaged, not quite, his aunt and uncle live about an hour and a half into South Carolina. And so they swooped us up with their friends over at a church there. And so we had a Thanksgiving meal. So God's just been providing left and right for us. And I know that no matter what's going on, we have a prodigal daughter that's back in Aurora, Colorado. And I just want to share a verse I'm very thankful for. When you're going through a really hard time, this verse just, yeah. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And no matter what's going on, just hold on tight to the Lord. I mean, we need to be more still and hold on tight to him. That no matter what's going on, just hold on tight. And I have one more thing I'm going to say that I'm thankful for, too. This is something really cool that God did for us. We used to live in California, in Clovis, California. And we were going through a really hard time with health stuff. And my sister-in-law, Linda and Rich, they live in Los Osos, and they found something on the beach. It was a little shell. Someone, another believer, had written on it that in this world, on one side of the shell, they found it. It was raining, actually, walking along the beach, the two of them. They were looking for sea glass. And on one side of the shell, it said, "In this life, you will have trials and tribulation." And on the other side of the shell, it said, "Hold on fast to the hand of Jesus. He will never let you go." So no matter what you're going through, hold on tight. So I'm just very thankful. And I look forward to meeting that person someday that wrote that and left it on the beach. Here they found it in California and mailed it to us in Colorado Springs. And it was the perfect timing. And I know in my heart that person, before they laid it down on the beach, they they said, Lord, please get this to somebody who needs to read it. And the timing was just neat. So, but anyway, I talked too long, but anyway, we're thankful for being here and just going to trust that God leads us where he wants us, and I'm done. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Megan Grandy, and I'm so thankful for this church body and that we're all a family and that we can praise God freely and that we can worship him and that you're all here today so that we can have this special service together. Thank you.
Amen. I think you need to pray for me that my heart, this is my sister. I don't know if she's ever spoken publicly anywhere. I love her.
And I don't.
Up here to keep her from falling over.
Yeah, but this is awesome.
On June 26th of 2018, I retired from my job. And because I told them, I said, I want to spend more time with my mother. You know, she's aging. She has a lot of things I need to do for her and my grandchildren and just have fun and do enjoy some things after working. But little did I know that God had a different plan for me. In a lot of ways. And on May of this year, I went for a test, and I went for another test, and it really threw me off guard. I thought, wow, what am I going to do now? But on June 26, 1 year later from my retirement, I found out I had breast cancer. And it says in James 1:2 to count it all joy when you face trials and tribulations. And I never knew what that really meant, but now I definitely know what it means. It seems like one trial after another and waiting and more doctor's appointments and more doctor's appointments. And it was really hard, but God was with me every step of the way. I never felt alone. I just can't tell you the peace and the joy he brought to me. And the day before my surgery, 17 people showed up at my house singing How Great Is Our God. And they came in my house and they prayed over me. And the peace that I had, I can never tell you. They brought balloons, of course, pink balloons, with all these scriptures that I took to the hospital with me. And I really feasted on God's word every day, day in and day out. And every day he showed up so miraculously. People sent me texts. They prayed over me. Scripture after scripture. They fed me. My husband and I. My husband was an awesome caregiver. My family, my friend. my family, my friends, and this church body, you'll never know what it meant to me. God has been so faithful. And I would never, ever want to change it or go back the way I was because he came so real to me. And I know that I'm forever changed, forever. And I just say, let all that I am praise God.
Amen.
Hey, I'm Jordan. I wanted to talk about a friend of mine that we've been praying for a long time. So we had a friend who is a Chinese graduate student that became a Christian while he was at UNCC, and I had the privilege of discipling him for a few years. And they've been through a lot of stuff, but one of the things is that their daughter needed a scholarship to go to college, and she needed a visa. And we prayed for them for months and months. And my kids got to pray for that, and the Lord answered that prayer, and they got their visa basically at the very last minute. But it was an amazing provision, and she got a full ride to college, which they could not afford to send her. So this was a huge answer to prayer. And then after that, Zach actually got a job, so he has an H-1B visa now, so he's in the U.S. for the long term. And if anyone knows how that process goes, they're virtually impossible to get. So this was another huge answer to prayer. And that was another long process of praying through the months of the application, and he didn't get it on the first round of review, and so we prayed some more, and anyway, it's an amazing thing to watch and see this process over the whole year and how God has provided for him, but also to pray for it and have to wait for it. And I think also seeing my kids pray and see God answer was an amazing thing.
My name is Lila, and I'm thankful for my baby boy, Judah.
My name's TJ Stefanini, and from New York, and me and my wife moved here about 7 months ago, and we were praying for about a year for the whole Charlotte thing to happen, honestly. We kind of knew ahead that it was going to happen, but it just didn't happen for a while, and God came through when we moved here in April, and second thing we prayed for was a church. So, I mean, we came here the first Sunday, and we just knew this was home. But people were trying to give us some wisdom and say, amen. Say, you know, you should look for, like, it's the right thing to do to look for other churches too, if you want. But we were saying, like, I don't know, like, are you trying to get rid of us? Or, like, I don't know. We knew it was home because we knew this was just the community, people inviting us, the genuineness. And this is a place where It's tough to just get so many different amounts of wisdom and just genuine people that it's just a good way for us to grow, to see all these different personalities with different experiences, and we've been blessed with a lot of counsel. And honestly, the job that I moved down here for, we're going through a transition period right now, which is interesting to come down here and kind of transition after about 7 months, but we know God brought us down here for a reason, and the counsel we have been given and just the people that care, it's been a huge blessing. And just to see that people really, the inviting atmosphere, and I think it's something that it was very hard for us to find where we were. We were always the inviters up where we were, and it's just a great opportunity for us to continue to grow, and we're just very thankful for this church. We're very thankful for the genuineness, and we're just thankful for the potential to grow, because there's a lot of potential to grow here, and yeah, we're just thankful for everything that's been provided, because we feel like our prayers have definitely been answered coming here. So thank you guys for going out of your way to make this a good home for us.
My name is Barb. Back in October, I went to Chad with Tom and Cherry Muma. And the middle of one night in Chad, and I mean middle of the night, it was after midnight, I don't even know what time it was, I woke up and my entire body ached. I'd been healthy, no problem, and I was very distressed and even felt like I was fearful, because I thought maybe I was having a heart attack, and here I am in the middle of Chad, what on earth am I going to do? But everything hurt in my body. And I'm standing here to say how grateful I am for worship music, and especially worship music that's based on scripture. Because God, in the midst of all of that, God gave me a song I probably haven't sung in 30 years. I don't even know, 20 years, 30 years? I don't know how long it's been since I've sung it. But it's a scripture based on Psalms. And it's, Lord, you are a shield about me. You're my glory, the lifter of my head. And that's all I could remember. It's all I could remember, and I kept singing it over and over and over in my head. And I fell back to sleep. And I woke up in the morning feeling just fine. And as Tom and Sherry and I discussed it, we believe that I was under attack. And God's word from a song that I, because I'm terrible at memorizing scripture, I try, but I can't keep it in there. My head just doesn't keep it. But songs of God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for those. And It saved me in a time of fear and doubt. Thank you.
My name is Francois Payan, and today is my first day here. Since there is a way for people to say what they are thankful for, I feel like I had to share this with believers. Last year, about at the end of November last year, my wife was pregnant with our third daughter, and I had moved here to Charlotte for a job, and at that point I lost that job, and my wife was seven, eight months pregnant, and at that time it was very, very difficult for me and not knowing what to do, and we are new in Charlotte. And we prayed, and there we had a couple of friends who helped us pray also, and less than a month we were able to find a new job, and that paid us way more than what we were having before. And that gave us a peace of mind. And also we are looking for church because we are building a house not too far away from here. About 10 minutes away. And we pray that we can find a church that is not too far away from us. And I heard him say, usually when you go to a church, the first day you have a feel and you don't want to go visit any other church because you're looking for a church where you can see believers and learning together. I hope this can become a church for us also. Thank you.
Is there anybody else here for the first time that wants to sign up? This is pretty cool. So Gracie, right? And Mark? Yeah. And Ryan. Yeah. Well, welcome from Colorado and welcome. Keep going. But let me share something, and it still will be open time. But this is somebody who asked me to share this who's not here today. And this is from Pete Goins. Your friend, Pete Goins. That's right. Your friend, Pete Goins. Pete Goins woke up a couple Thursdays ago with a massive heart attack, was taken to the hospital. Anyway, long process, got transferred downtown, had surgery, things were going well, but he had all kind of things going on. You know, pneumonia, kidney function issues, just very, very close to passing over. But God has spared him. He went home, I guess it was Wednesday maybe. Was it Wednesday, Bobby? Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. And I want to say also, this isn't a perfect church. So if you guys are looking for a perfect church, please go somewhere else. But this is a church that loves God and loves each other and loves the world. And I get to see sometimes the love that people show behind the scenes. And the Goins, I just saw people just rally around them so much. Anyway, Pete sent me an email last night, and he said, I'm unable to be there, but Jerry, would you share this? And I said, sure. It says, to the body of Christ at Harvest Community Church, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, first let me say, I thank God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, through the Holy Spirit, for your love expressed to Becky and me by calls, texts, cards, food, and visits over the last many difficult days. Our Father has been glorified in the eyes of many who have witnessed this outpouring of love on our lives. Your testimony of love for Him, expressed by your grace to us, has given rise to wonder and amazement by hospital staff and many others. The Holy Spirit has used this powerfully to glorify God. I hope to share individually with you later some of the ways others have been impacted by the gospel. I wish I could be there to hear of your testimony of thankfulness to God for how He is leading in your life. I miss your smiles and hugs, for which I thank God continually. If I could only give thanks to our Father for one thing today to express my love for Him and you, it would be the same as what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My heart is overwhelmed by the love of the Father, Son, and Spirit in my latest state of weakness. Truly, His presence has been and continues to grow stronger as I grow weaker. My prayer now is that you would pray not for my strength, but that I might continue to grow weaker, that He might be seen as strong, and the power of Christ might draw many to Him. I thank my God for you all. Know that we love you, and may His love, joy, and peace be yours now and forevermore. Pete Goins.
When I first got saved, the Lord gave me the bread of life, Himself, and I want to love Him. That was 36 years ago. And I remember when He gave me the bread of life, I was at General Motors, and I just gave my heart and life to the Lord. And I was there, and I was just, you know, just, I can't get enough of God, His Word, His love, just want to tell all these 8,000 people, want them to be saved too. So the Lord, when He saved my life and He saved my soul, the same as He did for you, as children of God, He gave us the bread of life. And then He came back to me and He gave me another loaf. And I said, Lord, well, I already have what I need. I have you. I have your word. I have your spirit. He said, that's for the next person. That was 36 years ago. I'll tell you a brief story here that you should be encouraged to, because God desires that none should perish. Tim Davis, my brother-in-law, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, when we get together with family and everything, I wanted to tell him too and everything. We played golf together, we fished together, we were together at all the family outings and everything. He had started a job at Bank of America, I started a job at General Motors. And I talked to him all the time about Jesus. And finally one day he said to me, Paul, you really don't have any credibility here. And I just stood there and I thought, Lord God, it's not my credibility I speak of. I didn't say anything to him, I just started to weep. I did not weep when I wasn't a Christian. I weep a lot now, especially for others. Don't want anyone to go to hell. I want them all in heaven with me. All the people, wherever they are. I mean that. So anyways, that's what he said to me. So we meet the family outings, Christmas, Thanksgiving, everything else. As time goes on, to make a long story short, he became third in rank, he is third in rank, at Bank of America in Atlanta, Georgia, after these 34 years. He is a multimillionaire. His house is like a small castle. He has everything you can possibly think of. And by the way, I had that at one time too, but the Lord did not take all that away, but He showed me the difference between the love of money and just having money. So we're continuing to be together, okay? So I'll be honest with you. There were times I thought that God wasn't even hearing my prayers. There were times when I didn't even think of Tim. There were times I didn't want to think of him, because I want to believe that if I talk to someone about Jesus in heaven, they're going to go. I still have the same thought. And I'll let the Lord decide who that may be. So, his wife died. My wife's only sister. First, her only brother died since I've come down here. And we went all the way across the country to share the gospel with the living named Marty. And I thank God that Christmas we were together. He would die shortly after that. Had a chance outside to talk to him once again. I've known him for 36 years about Jesus. He was shaken. I don't know what was going on, but he did not persecute me. He did not object. He didn't do any of that. He said, Paul, thank you for praying for me. That's all I've got. And drive across the country, to God be the glory, not me, to just be at that funeral, to sing a couple of songs. I believe people got saved that day. I think Christians were encouraged. I was. I am. But I want to get back to now her sister. So we're going to Atlanta. This is just a few months ago, back and forth trips to Atlanta. As Tim told me, she's got cancer. Shortly before that, Tim tried to take his own life. He was at the 74th floor at this big hotel. We were asked to come there by Mary, that's her sister, to be there. We left. We drove through the night to get there because it's very serious. He's going to take his life. I could relate to that before Jesus. That's how I came in. So the Lord said, that's all I need. Just go. And she was crying hysterically. She said that they're out there on the balcony, and he looks at her and he says, life really isn't worth living. And he asked her if she would just take his watch. And she was afraid because he's hanging on to the railing. 74 floors up. We drove down there. He's been taken away, you know how they do it, and put in an institution, whatever. That's what happens when you say things like that. She asked us if we would go back to their house and take care of the cats, tend it, and I was able to pray with Mary and talk to her. And Tim, I prayed that he would not. He was in the bathroom. He had the gun right to his head. She opened the door, and she grabbed the gun, and he didn't kill himself. So I know all this is happening. So we're just quiet, not many words, just be there. And she asked us if we'd go back there and take care of the family, because he couldn't leave, and she doesn't drive, so they're stuck in Pensacola, Florida, in this great big huge resort right out on the ocean. And he drove his Porsche to get there. This man was going to take his life. So, it has a happy ending. I'm going to get to it. Lord help me, but I don't want to leave out the good parts for you, that you would have a chance as Christians to just, as if you're walking right through this, like John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. When I first read it, I thought it was me. Still is, by the way. Anyway, so we go back there. We stayed there for a while. Then she said, that's the wonderful thing about being retired from General Motors, by the way. I can be available to people who are in need. So she says, Tim got saved. She died. He called me up and he said, on the phone on our way back to Atlanta, the last day of her life, he called me up and he said, Paul, before you get here, I want you to know this. All that stuff I told you for these 30 years, that was just a smokescreen. I know you love me. And I gave my heart to the Lord as a child. Now I want to give him my life. With tears and the whole bit. She died that night. He called me all the time now. We just took him out to dinner. And he told me, gotta go now, he said, the Porsche, I sold it. You didn't have to. He said, God has turned it all around. I've given my heart and life to the Lord. His name is Tim Davis. She died and went home to be with the Lord. This story is to be continued. If you want to see me afterwards, I'll be happy to share. There's a whole lot more.
Thank you, Paul. This is another new visitor to Harvest. Paul, do you guys remember, if you're a regular at Harvest, a few weeks ago I mentioned a movie about a true story in China that happened, the end of the Sixth Sense or whatever. These folks were visiting, I think it was their first Sunday that day, and the next week they brought me the DVD back. Still haven't gotten to see it, but thank you for sharing. And you know, that's a time to turn us to communion right here. The way God can save a person and change them. So this man that was prayed for and witnessed to for 36 years or whatever, thank God that he did that. And we're going to enter into this time. Thank you so much for all these things you've expressed. Thanks to the Lord. But really and truly, of course, what we have on this table in front of us never changes. Circumstances change, people change, we change, but God's love for us never changes. In fact, we read it in Psalm 136, right? His love endures how long? Forever. So we gather to receive communion. These are elements. The bread stands for his body that was broken for us.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out about how you can donate to support the podcast.